Okay. Well, today is a day of celebration, isn't it? And actually, every day, really, for us as Christians, is a day of celebration, celebrating what Jesus did for us on the cross. And but over this Easter time, it's good for us to remember, because the Bible says, forget not. It says it many times, actually, in the Bible about us not forgetting. Forget not all the benefits we have in Christ. And, you know, it is a human trait for us to forget, actually, just how blessed and how amazing it is to have relationship with God. And so even over this Easter time, we can remember again and focus again and come back again to major upon, actually, what does it mean? You know, what are we doing here when we come together as Christians? What is it all about? What's the meaning and purpose? And it actually all comes down to that Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And then he rose again so that we could also have eternal life with him. And if we never talk about the cross or never think about the cross or never major upon the cross, we are really neglecting a massive, well, the most central, most important parts of what we believe as Christians. So today is Easter Sunday, and we're celebrating and rejoicing and looking at the fact that Jesus rose from the dead for us. Not for him, but for us, for our benefit, so that we could be in heaven with God eternally, and he did it on our behalf. A father and a teenage son were living in Mexico City. They had an argument, and the son, Paco, shouted curses at his father and stormed out of the house and didn't return. Days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months. The father searched the city over and over, and finally, in desperation, he went down to the newspaper and took out an ad, and it said, "Paco, if you read this, I want you to know that all is forgiven. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you at this Sunday at the entrance of the city park. I hope you show up. Love, Dad." He said that that Sunday, 200 Pacos showed up at the park, all looking for forgiveness. You know, there are so many people searching in this world for forgiveness, for hope, for meaning. And the wonderful thing about Easter, the good news of Easter, is that the empty tomb provides hope in a hopeless world. And that is what Jesus offers to every single person. He offers hope. And I don't know what your situation is this morning. Life may be great for you. Life may be, for you, it may be difficult. But in Jesus, Jesus didn't just come to this earth just to make himself look great. He did it because you're precious and priceless to him. You are the most wonderful thing to him. He loves you, whoever you are, whatever background you're from, whatever country, nationality, culture, whoever you are, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you, to provide hope for you. You know, I was thinking, it's really interesting, no matter what generation we live in, doesn't matter how intellectual we are or how science progresses, that we think that we can fathom the most deepest mysteries of the world, still, you know, it comes down to us. Why am I here? What's my purpose for existing? What's life all about? Doesn't it? Ultimately, it comes down to us. And we're still asking those same questions. Even in 2015, we're still asking, what is life about? What happens when I die? What's my purpose? Why do I exist? Do I have significance? And the answer to all of those questions is, yes, you do have significance, you do have purpose, but the fulfillment of it is found in having a relationship with a God who loves you and who can forgive your sins. And God wants to give new life and purpose and hope today. And the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection, the power of the empty tomb is not getting weaker. It's consistently transforming and changing people's lives. For those that are looking, those that recognize they have a need to accept Jesus Christ into their lives. Roger's going to give us, he's going to read to us, and then I shall carry on after that. I think you need a microphone, do you?
Aren't we blessed to have the Word of God? It's important we don't take it for granted. These are just amazing words of truth. And it's Matthew chapter 27, from verse 57 to Matthew 28, verse 10. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out from the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
So I was just reading, and it's great, isn't it, when we read these familiar stories, and it's incredible how we can just pick up and get excited again and just see something. Have you ever done that? You've read something that you've read many, many times, and you read it again, you think, wow, that's so amazing. And actually, that is the wonderful thing, isn't it, about the Word of God, that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and reading it, it brings faith. And there is something very powerful about obviously reading the Word of God. But as I was just reading it again, I was just looking at a few of the elements of the story, and it's one of the things is that they put guards in the tomb because they realized that they were absolutely did not want anybody to say that Jesus is for anybody to come and steal the body, and then for people to say, "Ha ha, he's done what he said he would do," because they said that this would even be worse than the other things that they had done. So they were absolutely determined. The Romans were absolutely determined that this was not going to happen, that there was no way was Jesus going to enter out of that tomb, because it would just prove what he said. So they were absolutely adamant that this wasn't going to happen. And so they said, come on, we're going to do all that we can so that this doesn't happen. And it says that they stationed guards at the tomb and they sealed the tomb. So I've got a picture here. It's not a very good picture, but what they would do is that they would put chains and that they would, I'll read, a Roman seal was a cord that stretched across the tomb. It was fastened at each end with sealing clay. Before the tomb could be opened, the fastenings would have to be broken. And effectively, what they were saying was that this was Roman property. Do not come near. Do not touch this. So you've got the seal that is saying, this is Roman property. Back off. Back off, man. Yeah. And you've got the guards there as well. So breaking the Roman seal was a very serious offense. Actually, if you broke that seal, then you could be killed. It carried the death penalty. The Roman guards witnessed the sealing after they had seen that Jesus was in the tomb, and now they're standing outside the tomb, guarding it. The seal really was the emperor's word that Jesus was in there. He's in there, we've locked him away, no, he's not going anywhere. That tomb is staying sealed. And in Matthew 28 verse 2, it says, then suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the angel of the Lord came down. So, brilliant, just this the ground shook, there was noise and the angel comes down and it says that then he moved the stone and he sits on top of it. Wow. That must have been a cool dude, cool angel. You know, why was the stone rolled away? Actually, the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out, was it? Because Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away so he could step out. Actually, the stone was rolled away so that we could see in, to see in to the empty tomb. And if there's one message that I can give today is that it's just simply Jesus is alive. That he has risen. If they could have done anything to stop Jesus getting out of that tomb, they would have done it. Actually, they did what they could do. But God had a plan and God had a purpose. And God wanted to prove himself and show himself faithful to his word. Now I want to look in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. I struggled to get that on the slide, but I squashed it on. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? For if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ hasn't been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So I wanted to just spend a few minutes. It's not going to be a long message this morning, but I wanted us to just look actually at the fact of what would it be like if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. And that really, Paul talks about it He's saying this, that there were people at the time that were preaching that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. So what actually would it have been like? Well, verse 14, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, guys, we are wasting our time. If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, then this is useless." But the wonderful news is that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and the evidence is there that he's been raised from the dead. The thing is, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then you or I are wasting our time being here. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead and overcome every principality and power and triumph over the devil on our behalf, then our work, all that we're doing, has no profit at all. What are we doing? We must be crazy. We could be, I don't know, what would we be doing on a Sunday morning? Just sitting at home, reading the paper? Cup of coffee? Croissant? No, everybody's saying, oh, that sounds really nice. Okay, that. Yeah, those things are nice to do. But actually, if Jesus has risen from the dead, he's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of us laying our lives down. He's worthy, isn't he? He has risen from the dead. But if he hadn't, it would be a complete waste of time. The heart of the gospel is this. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and has risen again, according to the scriptures. He didn't just die for our sins so we could be forgiven, because that's only half of the story. I mean, that's pretty awesome and wonderful, isn't it? The fact that we can have our sins forgiven. All the stuff we're ashamed of, all of the stuff that hurts us so much, all of the stuff that we hold against ourselves and we hold against others, we can be forgiven. God can forgive us and wash us clean, as white as snow, the Bible says. And there's nothing and nobody that, no, even the greatest counselor cannot bring you to that point of saying that your sins are forgiven. Even the greatest self-help book that you could read could never bring you to the point of you knowing now that you can stand before God and not be condemned because your sins are forgiven. That's the power of what Jesus did on the cross to forgive you of your sins. But the other half of the story is that he rose from the dead on our behalf, so that we can not just have our sins forgiven, but that we can have eternal life forever and ever and ever with God. And eternity is a very long time, isn't it? Wow. Forever, we can be in God's presence. It's wonderful. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then who wants to put their faith in a dead man? Seriously. But Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He did rise from the dead. My goodness. He did rise from the dead. You know, the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the... Are you alive? If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that he was raised from the... Thank you. Then you will be saved. I mean, that's a critical, foundational, central part, isn't it, of what we believe. If we believe that in our heart that God raised him, sorry, we believe that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you want to be saved, then you have to believe that he was raised from the dead. And he was. He was. And he did it for you. He did it for me. So he could forgive us of our sins, but he could clinch the deal, as it were. And that we could be with God in heaven. Because it says if Jesus wasn't raised, then we can't be raised. So Jesus had to be raised from the dead so we could be raised from the dead so that we can be with God forever. Because the proof is him raising from the dead. And if he doesn't raise from the dead, then our faith is futile and everything we're doing. But so it comes down and it's so critical. And did Jesus rise from the dead? Yes, he did. He did. He rose from the dead. A Buddhist was in Africa. And he was converted to Christianity. And they asked this Buddhist, why did you change your faith? And here's what it said. He said, it's like this. If you're walking around and you come to a fork in the road and there are two men there and one was dead and the other one was alive, which man's direction would you follow? See, Jesus isn't just a founder of a religion. Buddha, Krishna, the Sikh prophets, other prophets, they're all dead. They've got a tomb that you can go and visit. But Jesus is alive. And actually, he's the only one that made that claim that he would rise from the dead. I want to follow somebody who's alive. Verse 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ has not been raised, as we said before, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Wow. What does that mean? It means that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then God hasn't accepted payment for your sins. And I don't know about you, but I mean, looking out at you all, you look fantastic, wonderful, together people. You don't look like any of you have got any problems at all. Just beautiful. But I know me. I mean, my wife, she knows me. But I really know myself. And I know that I need God's forgiveness in my life. I know the times where I fall short of God's best. And I need God's forgiveness in my life. And I thank God that I gave my life to God when I was 9 years old. But I thank God that every day, in one sense, I'm giving my life to him. I want to keep short accounts with him. And his blood that he shed upon the cross, in one sense, is just continually forgiving me and saying that you're accepted, son. And he's saying that you have purpose and you have meaning and you have significance. But it comes because I'm speaking those words of affirmation over you. It's not coming from anybody else. It's gone, you know, when God speaks over your life like that, wow. How amazing is that? That God would speak those words of love and acceptance and welcome to every single one of us. And it begins with us, doesn't it? Accepting our need of God. Romans 4, verse 25. It says that he died for our sins. And he rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. I like the translation of that. It's a bit simpler to some of the other versions that there are. But he died and he rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. So, you know, without the resurrection of Jesus, there would be no hope of entering heaven. Are you looking forward to heaven? Wow. don't talk about heaven because I don't want to talk about that. I just want to live my life. I want to enjoy life to the full. Actually, you know, I hate to say it, but actually every single one of us are moving closer and closer and closer to that point where we're going to leave this earth and we're going to go into an eternity. And I know people don't like to talk about that word beginning with D. But actually, it is going to happen to every single one of us here. And what we were saying last week, what profit is it if we gain the whole world, but we lose our soul? We come to the end of our life, we've had a great life, we've done all that we can do, and we've been successful, and people have admired us, and you know, we were saying we went to see to Chartwell with Will and Pam, and we went to see Winston Churchill. That man, his life. I think he became prime minister when he was like in his late 60s. You know, most of us will be putting our slippers on and just getting ready just to kind of just wind down. But this, I mean, he just incredible life that he led, and you know, the accolades that he had and the people that he knew and the connections. I mean, it was just incredible life. Imagine being a man of that status and then dying and then standing before God and he'd say, I never knew you. You're a great man. You did amazing things. You're but I never knew you. And, you know, that is not God's intention for every single year. You have to realize that. That Easter is about the fact that it's not God's intention for anybody to stand before God and receive that message from him. Actually, Easter is all about him reaching out and saying that I want to welcome you as my child and I want to welcome you as my son. If there's no resurrection, then there's no Savior. And if there's no Savior, then there's no forgiveness. And if there's no forgiveness, each and every one of us are lost. But wind back, there is a Savior. He forgave you of your sins if you will put your trust in him. And he rose again for you. That is how amazing Jesus is. That's why as Christians we can wake up even on a Monday morning and have a cheesy grin on our face. Yeah, because seriously, we have something genuinely that is exciting in our lives. And that is the person of Jesus who died for us and his ongoing, amazing work day after day after day of his activity and his work in us. I can remember talking to a guy a few years ago and he said, and it was really sad, he said, you know, I don't believe that there's any life. If you talk to anybody like that, just don't believe there's any life after death. I believe that we're living upon this earth. And I guess we're here just to have babies, and you know, I don't know what the purpose of life is if we're just a bit, you know, just here to have babies and have a job, I guess. And then I believe that when we die, we just go into the grave. That's it, finished. I mean, people are free to believe whatever they want, but I thought, wow, man, that is really. That's pretty hardcore, that is, isn't it? That this is all that there is, and then we just go into the ground. And verse 18 that we read in for that 1 Corinthians says that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then even those that have fallen asleep are lost, gone. It's finished. So actually, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, it would be just in the grave, finished, over. But actually, because Jesus has risen from the dead, there is another possibility for us, another way, another avenue to be in heaven with God for eternity. It really is possible that, is it possible that the one who created us, this beautiful world that operates in such harmony and is so perfect, would just let us, human beings that he fashioned and created in his, just to let us die in the grave. That's it. We were talking yesterday, I think it was, about just how amazingly intricate this world is. Have you ever, you know, the Bible talks about, doesn't it, about seeing God in creation. And again, you know, the older I get, and I know I'm not looking old. The older I get, I'm just joking. The older I get, the more I see God in creation. And I see God around us. We were talking about bees, honeybees, and how actually mankind needs bees, because the bees, I'm not really into all of this, but the bees pollinate, and then, you know, the crops can grow. And you know, birds, I was saying to Kayla, you know a bird will eat a fruit and then it will fly away and it will do its thing. And then seeds are planted. I mean, it's awesome. And then trees and but yet all of that was supposed to have happened by chance. I mean, when you think about the intricacies and how it all works and how it's just, it's a beautiful balance. And when you see around just how, you know, you've got the wind and the rain and you've got the seas that make the clouds and just how everything just is beautiful in its harmony, how it works. Yet it's all supposed to have happened by chance. So the good news of Easter is that you weren't created just to die. You weren't. The good news of Easter is for every single person here. You're not created just to go into a hole and just to die and that's it. Finished. Finish it up. One of the amazing things that we have, and I remember, you know, just thinking about heaven. And I remember saying to somebody, "What heaven?" They asked me, "What is heaven going to be like?" And I said, "Oh, heaven's going to be a place where we just worship God all the time." And I didn't actually do a very good job. They said, "Actually, I don't want to be there then, if that's what heaven is like." I was like, "Oh dear, this is not going well." You know, for one of the amazing things, and it's a really, really real promise, is for those of our loved ones, whether they be husbands or wives or children or dear people that we love, if they are people that had a faith and a hope in Jesus, then those people have gone to heaven. And one of the greatest things that we have, that we know, that we as Christians, that when we die, we are also going to go to that same place. We're also going to go to heaven. And we're going to be reunited with those that have gone before. And I was thinking, you know, all of the, listen to this. You know, when somebody dies, it's so sad, isn't it? But think about this. All of the pain and the hurt and the sadness, the pain that we feel from being parted with those loved ones, in heaven, all of that is going to be reversed. And this isn't just a vague kind of hope. This is what Jesus enabled us to have. He rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. And yes, we suffer for a moment, but wow, what is it going to be like when we get into heaven? When we see those that we love, we see those that we've missed, we see those that we've mourned for. Yet the power of what Jesus did on the cross, he is going to reverse all of that, so that we can be forever united with those that we love. I mean, how awesome and amazing is that? Is anybody excited about that? Yeah. I mean, that's the power of what Jesus did in dying on the cross and rising again. He is going to reverse every pain, every sadness. And what does the Bible say? In heaven, there's no tears, no sadness, no sickness. Verse 19, I'm almost there. If only we have this hope in Christ, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men, that we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Okay, so what does that mean? It says that if this life is all that there is, then this is really bad news. Actually, if we don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then we are to be pitied above everybody else. The most to be pitied, because actually we've been fooled. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, why are we going about following him? In verse 32, it says, if that's the case, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let's party. Let us party. I mean, we're going to the grave. There's no eternal life. So let's just make the most of it. Let's go for it. Let's not waste a moment. Let's just get as much packed in as we can. Let's just do everything to the max. I mean, if that really is the case, then why have a job? Let's get out there and just, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But in verse 33, it says, but don't be misled. Actually, it's not the case. We don't eat, drink, and be... Actually, we can enjoy life to the full because of what Jesus has done for us. But actually, we live a life led and guided by the Holy Spirit because we know that we have got an eternity in heaven to spend with God. Through the cross, you've been created to be a child of God. You're forgiven. You're given life, hope, love, and purpose in this life and the next. I'm going to finish now, and just shortly, Ali's going to come and sing and play a song for us. But God has much more for you to look forward to than a hole in the ground. He came out of a hole into heaven so that each and every one of us can have a purpose. The good news is that we don't have to let that be the end. And the true meaning of Easter is that Jesus Christ died for our sins so that you could be forgiven. He rose from the dead so that we could have an absolute certainty of eternal life. And that's what we're celebrating and giving thanks to God for today.